no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of old-time radio brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week is from the Sears Radio Theater. We'll hear The McGuffey Connection, their episode from March 2nd, 1979. After that, it's Greenwood Acres from Strange, an episode that aired sometime in 1955.
That's the theme from the Sears Radio Theater. Tonight is a story of adventure with Richard Widmark as your host.
Did you get that, Mr. McGuffey?
McGuffey? Get what?
I said the opium shipment will put in at Djibouti instead of Mombasa.
The Sears Radio Theater will begin after this message from your local station.
Your lung association says smoke's not just your affair. That smoke screen that you puff around pollutes non-smokers' air. It's bad for kids and older folks with lungs not up to par. It's damaging for you, of course, but your smoke travels far. Your lung association says please keep this thought in mind. It's double damage all around and doubly unkind. So try to kick the habit and give everyone a break. Please do it for your life and breath and everybody's sake.
Your Lung Association and you know that cigarettes are a breathing hazard. Smokers, please don't add that extra offense. Give us a break for life and breath.
This is Richard Widmark. The man sitting in the small whitewashed room under the slowly rotating fan is Arnold McGuffey, an American. We're in East Africa. McGuffey might be poised there before a battered desk staring at an ancient typewriter for any number of reasons. He could be a hunter preparing to write a letter home about the kill. He might be a journalist about to write the first of a devastating series of articles on poaching. Or he could be a novelist composing the landmark book on man's attitude when he at last faces death.
Mr. McGuffey?
Not now, Miss Gennaro.
It will only take a moment.
Not now, Miss Gennaro. Not just right now.
The beautiful girl hesitates in the doorway, then impatiently waits as Arnold McGuffey strikes the keys of the battered typewriter.
To the Drug Enforcement Administration, Washington, D.C. Attention. General Director Dexter Hamilton. Subject, intercept of opium shipment.
Which answers the age-old question, what's Arnold McGuffey doing in East Africa? And that's only the beginning of our story.
Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening, brought to you five nights a week by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops. Your hosts,
Lorne Greene. I'll bring you stories of the Old West and the New.
Andy Griffith with a look at the funny side of life.
Vincent Price with tales of mystery and suspense.
Cicely Tyson with stories about love, hate, and related things.
Richard Widmark. I'll bring you stories of pure adventure.
Five nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis' production of The Sears Radio Theater. Our story, The McGuffey Connection, by Ted Sherdeman. Our stars, William Shallert, Peggy Weber, and Ben Wright.
Come,
spin the wheel of fashion. Discover a fortune of spring separates at Sears Junior Bazaar. Ah, silk blend skirt and pants in dusty pastels. A blend of polyester, rayon, and silk, making them easy care, wrinkle resistant. Top them off with white on white polyester and cotton blouses. Fashion is your fate at Junior Bazaar. Available at most larger Sears retail stores.
Convenience and security. The Sears Best Garage Door Opener is just that. Digital control lets you select your own key signal from 512 different transmitting codes. Sears Best Garage Door Opener has a vacation switch that'll lock out stray signals when you're away from home for long periods of time. Of course, when you're home, you won't have to get out of your car to open up that heavy door. Sears Best Garage Door Opener, featuring digital control, gives you convenience and helps you feel secure. Available at most larger Sears retail stores.
The word's out and spreading fast about the jeans from Sears Men's Store that grow beautifully. It's a sure sign they're feeling fine and feeling good. For the denim that keeps going strong a long time. Get them trim cut, regular cut, even get them pre-washed. The jeans that grow beautifully. Now at most Sears retail stores.
What would it cost to replace your car's muffler, including installation?
Oh, I'd say about $50.
No, wait, $45.
It'll be around $30.
Just about $40.
The aluminized Sears muffler is only $19.99.
That's half of what I guessed.
It's hard to believe. On a Cadillac?
That's a terrific price, with installation included.
Yep. Should have known it. Sears.
The muffler, just $19.99 installed. Clamps, if needed, 99 cents each extra. Sizes to fit most American-made cars. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii at most Sears Tire and Auto Centers.
It's almost as though they've been waiting for us. The stunning Miss Elena impatiently standing at the open door while Arnold McGuffey labors at his typewriter.
I can no longer wait. This will only take a moment.
Can't you see I'm busy? This is to let you know I have not heard from my contact yet, and now doubt I ever will.
Mr. McGuffey, please.
I have to get this report off to my boss, Elena.
That can wait. There's someone here who wants to study the termites in Kajiado District, and the aliens are due to emerge from the mounds in a few months.
I'm writing about intercepting an opium shipment due to arrive any moment, and she's talking about termites and... what do you call them?
Aliens. They are the winged male termites. And the person inquiring needs a teacher.
And I need a guard at the door to keep you from barging in. Winged male termites of all...
Can we supply a teacher? Answer, yes or no?
No. Now get out of here.
Maybe I'll send him to the International Center of Insect Physiology and Ecology in Nairobi.
Miss Genera, please just leave and close the door.
I didn't know termites had been around for 250 million years. My word.
Please advise how on earth, without my contact, I am to intercept, confiscate, and destroy a shipment of opium before it reaches Marseille in France to be converted into heroin. Your instructions used to be very clear. For instance, when you first gave me my orders back in Washington.
And we believe the freighter will first put in here, at Mombasa in Kenya. As you can see by the map, it's in East Africa.
Where's the ship coming from?
From Rangoon, that's in Burma.
I know where it is, Dexter. Why is it putting in at Mombasa?
Well, I don't know. The operative in Burma thinks the ship is going through the Red Sea, the Suez Canal, and then on to Marseille.
Who's the operative?
Well, that's top secret. Your contact will get in touch with you about the freighter's arrival.
And what am I to do in the meantime?
Well, we've arranged a cover for you.
Not like the last time, please.
What was that?
I was an American bullfighter in Spain.
Oh, that. Well...
I wound up being gored by a bull, Dexter, in Seville.
Yeah, I remember now. Well, you won't be gored by anything this time unless you bleed when you open a school book.
I beg your pardon?
You're to start a school in Kenya.
Start a school?
Yeah, that's right. Under the auspices of some church.
What church?
Well, we'll make one up. Maybe we'll call it the Church of Faith. What's funny?
That I should be a churchman running a school.
That's better than bullfighting.
Not much. That's my cover, a school?
Yeah. I've arranged for the Army to supply you with a lot of self-teaching textbooks. Here's your plane ticket to Nairobi. You'll be met by one of our agents there, Perry North.
Does he know about this cockamamie cover?
No, no. Bring him up to date. And keep in touch with me.
Mr. McGuffey?
I'm Arnold McGuffey.
I'm Perry North, sir. Welcome to Nairobi, sir.
Thanks, but my name's Arnold McGuffey, not sir.
Yes, sir, Mr. McGuffey, sir. Did you have a nice flight?
Good enough. Why the frown, Perry?
You have several cases of school books. I thought we were to work on a drug shipment from Burma.
We are. Any word from the contact yet?
No, Mr. McGuffey.
See, the books are our cover while we're waiting. We're going to start a school run by the Church of Faith.
You? Yeah?
Wherever we please, Nairobi, Mombasa, wherever. I lean toward Mombasa.
It is cooler there because it is on the Indian Ocean.
It's also where the opium ship is due to put in.
Yes. And the school is to be our cover.
That's right. Can you imagine a couple of narcotics enforcers posing as churchmen and starting a school? You're not laughing.
I have a master's degree in education. It was once my dream to teach illiterates how to read and write.
How come you ended up a narc?
How come people generally end up doing something they were never trained for?
Good question. The point is, I have to clear the way to let the Church of Faith start a school.
I can help you with the authorities.
Good. Then to get in touch with the contact so we can act when that opium shows up. What now, Perry?
Oh, just thinking, sir. Maybe I'll finally get a chance to use my flashcards after all.
What are you talking about?
The school, Mr. McGuffey. The school.
Perry North was invaluable, both in clearing our cover with the authorities and in organizing the school. We took a building near the waterfront in Mombasa. From my office on the second floor, I had a fine view of Kilindini, the spacious harbor. I was observing various ships through binoculars one day when Perry North knocked politely at the door. Come in.
You heard yet, Mr. McGuffey, sir?
From the contact? Not a word. The names they give some of these ships. Humperdinck Rosnovik. And it's a cruise ship to boot. Imagine saying, I'm sailing on the Humperdinck Rosnovik.
Why I'm here? We need to teach the subjects the books don't cover, like riveting, welding, Kenyan economy, accounting.
We've got textbooks on accounting.
Yes, but they are in dollars and we are in Kenya. We use pounds here.
Ah, I see what you mean. Well, do what you want about it. It's up to you to run the school.
I think we should divide the school into three parts.
Three parts?
I will act as dean of the primary school, teaching illiterates to read, write, and do simple sums. Then we need a dean of the technical school and a dean for advanced education.
What is advanced education?
Anything that doesn't fit into the other two schools. Like typing.
So, line up your deans.
I have, but there's one problem. The dean of the technical school also wants to be a student in the primary school.
Wait, let me understand this, Perry. The dean of the technical school can't read or write?
No, Mr. McGuffey. But he's a genius at fixing motors, air conditioners, and so on. His name is Logan Peebles.
A Kenyan?
No. White, Englishman. He's employed at Kanatko Taxis.
Oh. And the dean of what you call advanced education?
She's Indian.
She?
Her name is Olena Janera. She's employed by the High Commissioner.
How come you picked a woman?
Well, I heard her on the Voice of Kenya one night being interviewed, and she said she was very interested in doing something for our country. So I contacted the radio station, found her, explained the school, and she's very pretty, too.
Uh-huh. That's why she's dean, because she's pretty.
Because she's bright. She also works part-time as a Red Cross volunteer at the Catherine Beebe Hospital.
Well, Perry, it's up to you. When do classes start?
Next week, I hope. Would you like to meet them?
Meet who?
The dean. They're waiting outside.
Okay.
Would you like to come in now? Mr. McGuffey, this is Miss Olena Janera and Mr. Logan Peebles.
How do you do?
Nice to meet you.
I have to get back to the hacks.
Mr. North explained you were employed by a taxi company.
For the time being.
And you'll get instructors and teach yourself?
So long as he can teach me reading and writing.
I can teach you, Mr. Peebles.
Do I have to join your church? North here said you were operating this year's school under something called the Church of Faith.
Oh, well, we are, but you don't have to join it. Nobody does.
Unless he wants to.
Oh, I don't want to.
And I cannot. I am Hindu.
And a very pretty one.
So I have been told, Mr. McGuffey, numerous times.
Well, is this it? Can I go back to my job now?
Absolutely. Just wanted you to meet Mr. McGuffey, head of the operation.
Oh, we'll see you next week, then. So long.
Goodbye. A few questions, Mr. McGuffey.
I'll try to answer them, Miss...
Gennaro. Olena Gennaro.
I can teach shorthand and typing in Swahili, Arabic, or English. Which do you prefer?
Well, take it up with Perry here. I mean, whatever you decide is okay with
and
me.
And I had some thoughts on the technical training. Things Mr. Peebles cannot handle.
Oh, well, what thoughts?
Refer students who want such things as mechanical drawing, for instance, to the Mombasa Technical Institute.
That's an excellent idea, Olena.
Miss Gennaro, if you please.
Miss Gennaro. Good idea, eh, Mr. McGuffey, sir?
Oh, splendid, Mr. North.
Mr. McGuffey, what are the binoculars on your desk for?
Well, I like to look at the ships coming and going.
Mm-hmm. Bon voyage, Mr. McGuffey. Mr. North?
See you next week?
Of course. Goodbye.
I'll see you back to your office, Miss Gennaro.
I have a moped, so it is not necessary, Mr. North.
You didn't tell her the real reason I was here, Perry.
Oh, of course not, Mr. McGuffey.
Well, then why the crack about the binoculars?
Oh, maybe she was just curious.
She's certainly pretty. I wish you luck. The school, Dexter, seemed to be doing a thriving business thanks to the efforts of Perry North, Logan Peebles, and especially Olena Gennaro. The three deans and I met each night to discuss the progress of the students, but I listened with only half an ear because I remained anxious about intercepting that opium shipment. Spent most of my time looking at the ships as they came into Kilindini Harbor. I also kept watch on the seagoing dhows in the old harbor of Mombasa for my daily walks to the bottom of Nkrumah Road. It wasn't until Perry North asked me to have a look at his class in illiteracy that I even began to take an interest in the school.
Now, class, pick up your pencils. I will show you a drawing, a picture of an object. Then turn over the card, and you will see the letters that spell the object's name. You are then to write the letters after I turn the card face down on this table. Clear?
Buona, teacher?
Yes, Stryker.
Are we to write in English or Swahili?
Either one, though I recommend you write both. The cards are printed in both languages, like this. English, and below it, Swahili. Clear?
Ndio, buona, teacher.
Okay. Now, here is a picture of a lion. Does everyone see it? Now, I turn it over, and you see the letters. The first is in English. L-I-O-N. Beneath it is Swahili. S-I-M-B-A. Okay. Now, write it.
To look the height of fashion wherever I go requires many coats. But for home, I need only one coat fashion surrounding me. Sears Best Easy Living Interior Paint. One coat of Easy Living on the walls and every room looks stunning while I entertain or just relax. Choose from 24 decorator colors in Easy Living Flat Latex and Semi-Gloss, plus bright white ceiling paint for your home. Because with Sears Easy Living Paint, all you need is one coat when used as directed at most Sears retail stores.
When my brother was my age, being in style meant wearing old jeans and about a pound of dirt. But today, us guys are more sophisticated in our style. And that's why Sears has Styleworks. A guy can pick up on the latest styles in jeans, tops, sweaters, and dress your clothes like vested suits. I can depend on the Styleworks shop at Sears for just about everything to keep me looking great. And the prices? Pretty reasonable. My folks like that. Styleworks. Today's styles all in one place. At most larger Sears retail stores.
Can't believe you owe the IRS that much. Well, when things just don't add up, you can count on a Sears desk calculator to help you. Add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Then read the figures two different ways. 12-digit lighted display and tape printout for your records. There's a two-memory system that helps ease multi-step problems, plus its many extras make it a great time saver. Now at most Sears retail stores. Sears two-memory desk calculator. Cut $25, just $99.99 through March 10th. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
What's the best way to save on new clothes? Sew them. Start by saving $40 on a Kenmore sewing machine at Sears with a convertible free arm for narrow sleeves, cuffs, and legs, a built-in buttonholer, even 6 stretch stitches. This free arm Kenmore, just $199.95, and save $30 on a wood veneer sewing cabinet.
Sale ends March 31st. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii. Available at most Sears retail stores. Kenmore. Solid as Sears.
Though the school was only his cover for the opium shipment he was in Mombasa to stop, Arnold McGuffey's interest grew after he visited one of Logan Peebles' classes and heard the Dean of Technical Education say,
"We're going to keep on studying carburetors till you learn what they're for, what they do, and how to fix them. Now, which one of you remembers how many different kinds there are? You there with your hand up.
Three types are used in internal combustion engines: surface, wick, and jet.
Correct. Now, what's this here thing here?
That's a metering pin, Buona Peebles.
He asked me, not you.
Why did you not answer him then?
Hold it! Break it up! Now, if that happens again, I'm throwing you two out of this class. Is that clear?
Dio, Buona.
Yes, Buona.
I have to go to my own schooling now, so my assistant will take over. You, okay?
Nido, Buona Peebles.
Now, if anybody gets out of line again, you come tell me, clear?
Yes, Buona Peebles.
Oh, hello, Mr. McGuffey.
I just thought I'd look in on your class for a while, Logan.
Oh, sorry about that rumpus. We don't have them as a rule.
Sorry you can't stay.
I have to learn to read and write.
I know.
It was part of our deal, remember?
I know, and it's all right. See you and the other two deans after school's out.
Yeah.
Logan Peebles was the Dean of Technical Education, although he was also one of Harry North's students. Harry, the Dean of Primary Education, had the largest class, nearly 50 adults he was teaching to read and write. The pretty Indian girl, Olena Genera, who was also the Dean of Advanced Education, taught shorthand and typing to a small group of Kenyans, Asiatics, and Europeans.
What do we give the students when they complete a course?
Well, I hadn't thought about it.
Don't you think you should?
Well, we can't give them jobs.
Of course not.
Maybe a certificate of some kind that states each student has completed whatever course he took.
They've worked hard, studied as if their lives depended on it. They should have real diplomas, a real graduation exercise. Do you realize these people have never graduated from anything?
Where would I get diplomas?
The same place you get those silly certificates you were talking about.
I don't even remember what a diploma looks like.
I have several. Or you can go to any doctor's office.
Well, bring one of yours in. Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Church of Faith?
Oh, yes. This is the Church of Faith.
McGuffey?
McGuffey speaking.
This is Dexter Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Excuse me, please.
If that means for me to get out, it is not necessary.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
I wasn't talking to you. Well?
It is not necessary for me to leave.
What does that mean?
That's the second time you said that.
I wasn't talking to you.
And the second time for that, too.
What do you want, Dexter?
I have the contact for you. The name is Tawawa. You got a pencil?
You got a pencil?
Here.
The name is Tawawa in Mozambique.
Got it. This is private information.
Private.
Is he to get in touch with me or I with him? And where?
No, Tawawa will get in touch with you. Is there something wrong?
Yeah, I need diplomas.
Diplomas?
For the school.
Now, don't forget what you're there for.
I won't, but I still need diplomas.
Look, will you forget about the diplomas and let me know as soon as Tawawa gets in touch with you? That opium must be stopped before it reaches Marseille and's turned into heroin. Look, the line is noisy again. I'm going to hang up now.
Okay. Look, Miss Gennaro, when this phone rings and I ask you to excuse me, it means you're to let me have my privacy.
Under normal circumstances, I would let you. But this is silly.
What do you mean, silly? I was talking to my boss.
The director of the Drug Enforcement Administration.
The direct... How did you know that?
Mr. McGuffey, what do you think we Kenyans are? A bunch of children?
Go on.
You are like many foreigners who think of Kenya as a nation of illiterate blacks in a land of big game for you to hunt so you can hang animals' heads on your walls. We all speak Swahili, but most of us also speak English. How many in your country are fluent in more than one language?
What's that got to do with it?
The Church of Faith makes us laugh. We have Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Hindus, Muslims, and the mosques, temples, and churches to prove it. The Kenyan government was delighted to let you start a school, especially glad of Perry North's efforts.
But how did you know I was speaking to the...
The plans for that shipment of opium have been known for months. Kenyan authorities are on the lookout for it 24 hours a day, and not only in Mombasa, but up and down the coast, and in Nairobi, in case the smugglers try to send it in by air.
But it's going to... Never mind.
I know. It is destined for Marseille to be turned into heroin. Mr. McGuffey, we've known about it all along. But the school is more important.
Maybe a mapping outfit. Seems to me I saw one in Zanzibar Road.
What are you talking about?
The diplomas. Maybe a mapping outfit can make them up.
Good idea.
Listen, do you know the name of my contact, too?
No, but the Kenyan authorities probably do.
We'll keep this a secret between us about the opium shipment.
It is all right with me. The problem is, how does one keep a secret when hundreds already know about it?
Good question. Well, I think I'll go call on that mapping outfit.
And I will go to the hospital. It is my Red Cross day.
I suppose Olena Gennaro is telling me that she and lots of others knew of the opium shipment should have upset me, but it didn't. Maybe because the school had become important to me. I was now determined to give the students a graduation exercise they'd never forget. However, I spoke to Perry North in my office about Olena's knowledge of the opium shipment. He wasn't surprised.
As I said, Miss Gennaro is a very bright girl.
Did you know the Kenyan authorities were onto this, too?
Oh, yes, Mr. McGuffey.
Why didn't you tell me? You're supposed to be my assistant on this thing.
Well, I knew you'd find out in time anyway.
Excuse me, Perry. Oh, don't leave. Hello, Church of Faith here.
Mr. McGuffey.
McGuffey speaking.
This is Miss Tawawa.
Miss? You're a girl?
I was the last time I looked.
A girl?
I'm a woman, Mr. McGuffey.
But you're supposed to be my... Are you in Mozambique?
I am. And I'm your contact. The opium shipment will put in at Djibouti, not Mombasa.
Perry, has Dexter lost his mind using a girl to contact me?
I don't know, Mr. McGuffey.
Did you get that, Mr. McGuffey?
McGuffey? Get what?
I said the opium shipment will put in at Djibouti instead of Mombasa.
Yes, yes, Djibouti instead of Mombasa.
The change was necessitated by the activity of the Kenyans.
Does Hamilton Dexter know you're a girl?
She knows I'm a woman, yes.
And he hired you anyway?
Mr. Dexter has used my services before, Mr. McGuffey.
Maybe, but this could be dangerous. And you're a girl.
I am a woman, and I will contact you when I have a date for when the ship from Rangoon puts in. At that time, we can arrange a meeting in Djibouti. Goodbye, Mr. McGuffey.
Wait a minute. I wanted to talk to you. She hung up.
Well, perhaps she said all that was necessary.
I can't believe it. A girl contact. I mean, I've heard of women's lib, but this is ridiculous.
Why are you so surprised, Mr. McGuffey? I'm
supposed to sneak aboard some unknown ship or freighter or whatever they're using, get several kilos of opium and destroy it so it can't wind up on the U.S. streets as heroin, and she talks about going with me. What are you doing?
Oh, looking at the diploma you got from the mapping firm.
Oh, you know, I don't think it should have that heading, do you? Olena said the Church of Faith was a laugh.
She was right. It shouldn't read School of the Church of Faith. Maybe something like University of the Tropics?
Hey, how about calling it the Equatorial University?
Ah, I like that, Mr. McGuffey. Equatorial University.
And I want these students to have a graduation exercise that's meaningful to them, Perry. A valedictorian, a blessing by a man of cloth, a guest speaker. Do you think you could get the president?
I can try. The way his eyes lighted up when I told him we were going to teach people to read and write, I can try, Mr. McGuffey.
And each dean will hand out the diplomas. Hey, we're going to need something to wrap them in.
Ah, mine was tied with blue ribbon.
Mm-hmm. And how about the soccer stadium as a place to hold it?
Oh, just fine. When does the opium arrive in Djibouti?
I don't know. Tawawa doesn't know. Tawawa. A woman. A female contact for a drug shipment. Wait a minute. Rather than climb the walls, I'm going to order the diplomas and try to get a churchman to give the blessing. I decided to go to the Anglican Cathedral on Nkrumah Road and tell my story to the Archbishop there. A few days later, he gathered some five religious leaders together, and I explained what I wanted. To my amazement, they all wanted to give the blessing, claiming that the student shouldn't be restricted to just one faith.
What do you think, Mr. McGuffey?
But we only have room and time for one blessing, Your Grace.
Then it's up to us to decide who gets the job?
Well, yes, sir, but only one can do it.
I see. Does each of you gentlemen have a shilling?
Yes.
Fine, then we shall toss for it. Heads will be the first winners. Very well, gentlemen. Toss. Ah, you have tails, so you are out. And you, and you. That leaves me and the father here. Very well, father. Toss. Tails, you lose. Heads, I win.
Oh,
please remember, gentlemen, Mr. McGuffey came to me first. I could have just taken this assignment, but I did not. I called you all together here. It was resolved, fair and square.
The idea of five churchmen gambling to see which was to deliver the blessing on graduation day was a wondrous thing to me. And to Perry North, Elena Genera, and Logan Peebles when I told the three deans of the school about it.
They actually tossed shillings to see who got it.
They did. And the Archbishop won. So we'll have an Episcopal blessing.
At least I'll understand it.
So will the students, Logan.
The diplomas turned out fine, Mr. McGuffey.
Now, each dean is to sign them for his or her students.
We understand.
What about the blue ribbon to tie them with?
The Red Cross had only yarn at the hospital, so I got some ribbon from the Kenya Rayon Mills on Chongomwe. 20 yards of it, yay wide.
Good. How'd you make out getting a guest speaker, Perry?
The president will try to make it, but if he's held up in Nairobi, Mr. McGuffey, he'll send the vice president.
Good. Now, all we need to get is a place to hold the graduation and a valedictorian.
I think I've got one for you, Mr. McGuffey.
Who?
He read his speech to me and, well, it's important.
Who is it?
Stryker. The big Kenyan who broke up the dice game.
But he's illiterate, isn't he?
Not anymore, Mr. McGuffey. And the title of his speech, which he wrote himself, is What Education Means to Me.
Sears Radio Theater will return after this message from your local station.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau. Are you looking for a nursing home? Well, here are a few tips. Start by getting a list of the licensed facilities in your area from your local health department. Find out whether they are certified to receive Medicare and Medicaid payments. Also, talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors who've placed a family member in a home. You see, it's important to visit a nursing home to check the facilities and the services. For example, food handling, patient care, in-service staff training, housekeeping, and patient activities. Now, before you sign an admission agreement, you read it carefully, including the fine print, and ask a lot of questions about what's included in the price. A number of nursing homes charge extra for such items as wheelchairs, air mattresses, and personal laundry. A tip from your Better Business Bureau.
What if you went off to college and found that you were different from everyone else, and everything was designed for them, not for you? Suppose you went to the library and all the books you needed were in Braille, and you were the only one who couldn't read. You'd feel left out, wouldn't you? And what if you went to class and found that there were no chairs because all the other students rolled in with their own wheelchairs? Suppose one of your professors gave his lectures talking with his hands, only his hands, and everyone understood sign language except you. You'd think it wasn't fair. Well, that's how handicapped people feel now when they go to college and find extra handicaps. But things are changing, and we have free information that can help. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. A public service message on behalf of the United States Office of Education.
Richard Widmark again. And here's the concluding act of the McGuffey Connection. Equatorial University.
Equatorial University? I was calling the Church of Faith.
Who is this?
Who is this?
Arnold McGuffey. Is this Miss Towawa from Mozambique?
It is, Mr. McGuffey.
Now listen carefully. I am not a male chauvinist pig, but I won't stand still when they send a woman to do a man's work.
Correction. You are a male chauvinist pig, and it's not a man's work. It's anybody's work. I just happen to be a woman.
That's not my fault, and I will not...
I will meet you in Djibouti the morning of the 10th of next month. The ship is due at the port in the evening.
Have you heard what I said, Miss Towawa?
Yes, I heard. Are you still interested in stalling that opium shipment?
Of course, but I'm...
Then meet me in Djibouti on the morning of the 10th. I will be at the airport.
Now listen. She hung up on me again. She hung up on me again.
Who?
Miss Towawa, that woman. She said the shipment of opium was due in Djibouti the evening of the 10th. She expects me to meet her at the airport in the morning, Perry.
The 10th, Mr. McGuffey. Of next month?
That's what Towawa said.
That's graduation day.
The 10th of next month?
You said it yourself, Mr. McGuffey, because it was the only day that you could get to soccer stadium for the graduation exercise.
I knew there was something.
And all of the students have been told about it.
That woman. Wouldn't you know a woman would throw a monkey wrench into all our plans? Hello?
Church of Faith?
Who wants to know?
Well, I, for one. McGuffey?
Yes. Oh. Oh, hello, Dexter.
You mad at something?
No. Yes, I am. Miss Towawa just called me from Mozambique.
Well, about your objections, may I point out that Miss Towawa is perfectly capable.
In your book, not in mine.
She has a black belt in karate.
Oh?
Yeah, she also scored higher than any man in pistol shooting. 99 bulls out of 100.
What are you trying to tell me, Dexter?
That your complaints about her are ill-founded, McGuffey.
You know what she just told me? That I was to meet her at the airport in Djibouti the morning of the 10th.
Well?
That's next month.
So what's your problem?
It's the 10th.
So?
Perry and I can't meet her in Djibouti then.
Because she's a woman?
Because it's graduation day.
Come again, McGuffey.
I said it's graduation day. You hear me, Dexter?
I think so. You said graduation.
Right. And Equatorial University is going to have an exercise our students will remember the rest of their lives.
Equatorial University?
Yeah. I got the soccer field, and the Archbishop of the Anglican Church is going to give the blessing. And Perry has a valedictorian who learned to read and write in his class for illiterates and... Just a minute. Who's the guest speaker, Perry?
Either the president
or the vice president, whoever is available.
And a guest speaker, a high-ranking official of the Kenyan government. Then we're handing out diplomas.
McGuffey, will you be in Djibouti the 10th of next month?
I just told you, Dexter, I can't. It's graduation day.
It was a bright and beautiful day when we gathered at the soccer field. A boxing ring had been set up for the graduation exercise, and bench seats in front of it were filled with students excitedly waiting to get their diplomas. Their families and others who'd come to witness the ceremonies partially filled the stadium on one side. On the boxing ring, the three deans of the school sat beside the archbishop, the vice president, and myself. The ceremonies began with a benediction from the archbishop. It was followed by my introduction of the vice president, who read what the president himself had written, then beamingly added some words of his own, complimenting the students and calling them an inspiration to all Kenyans. Then Perry North stood up.
It has been a great honor to serve as dean of the primary school of Equatorial University. It has been an additional honor that the man selected to serve as valedictorian was a student in the primary school. I now present your valedictorian, Juana Stryker, whose subject is What Education Means to Me.
I have wrote this all by myself. Many weeks ago, I cannot read or write anything. Now, I can read what other people wrote and learn what they think. Now, when I read how one man fixes his troubles, I learn how maybe I can fix mine, and I do not feel alone in this world no more. I know it is the only world we got, and most all the people in it are good, who have got in their hearts the same feelings as me. I was afraid in the beginning. The only thing I am afraid of now is I cannot live long enough to learn all I want so as to be as good as I want to be. That is what I mean when I say what education has done for me. Thank you, Asante.
Congratulations, Stryker. I'm very proud of you.
Bravo.
Asante Guanono.
It was a fine speech, Stryker.
Good going.
Asante Guano people.
Missouri. Missouri Guano Stryker. Good, good.
Asante Guano Vice President.
Your attention, please. You who are to receive diplomas will please come up on the platform by those stairs on the left, Kushoto, and leave by the stairs over here on the right, Kulia. You will receive your diploma from the vice president, who will get it from the dean of your particular school.
Okay, Perry.
Here you are, sir.
Asante Bonanno. Buona people. I thought you were one of the deans. Dean of the...
Technical school, yes, sir, yes, sir. But I'm graduating from the primary school.
Oh, congratulations, buona people.
Thank you, sir.
Perry North's students were the first to receive their diplomas. Then came Olena Genera's School of Advanced Education, followed by Logan Peebles' pupils. It was when Olena gave a diploma to the vice president, who gave it to a beautiful Arabian girl, and my eyes followed her as she hipped her way to the exit stairs, that I became aware that you were sitting beside me, Dexter.
I gotta compliment you, McGuffey. You've done a good thing.
How long have you been here, Dexter?
No, I watched and listened from the stadium until they began passing out the diplomas. I wondered what that item was on your expense account.
Dexter, you didn't come all the way from Washington just to see a graduation in Mombasa or quibble about my expense account. Now level with me.
Well, frankly, I came to chew you out.
For not meeting my contact, Miss Tawawa, in Djibouti this morning?
Well, yes, that among other things.
Like firing me?
Well, not before learning more about this Equatorial University. After all, it was my idea for you to start a school. As a cover, I might add. Who's the pretty girl handing out diplomas to the vice president?
Olena Genera. She was recruited by Perry North and acted as Dean of Advanced Education. How about the opium shipment?
Did that big Kenyan really write that speech himself?
Yeah, he was a student in Perry's class of illiterates. How about the opium shipment?
Hmm? Oh, forget it.
Forget it?
Yeah, the ship isn't putting in at Djibouti after all. It put in for refueling at Majunga on Madagascar.
It's already put in?
Yeah, a week or so ago. She's a freighter called Colonial Lady. I suppose she's well on her way to Suez by now.
How do you know so much?
Ooh, from my operative who went aboard, found the opium, got it off, and destroyed it.
I didn't know we had an operative in Madagascar.
We don't. She flew over from Mozambique.
She?
Miss Tuwawa.
Her?
And since you get along so well together, I'm sending you both on an assignment to Hong Kong.
Miss Tuwawa and me?
McGuffey, it's better than being canned in Mombasa.
I don't know.
Well, think about it a moment. Miss Tuwawa is a very beautiful Eurasian. Filipino and Spanish, I think. Born in Manila. She'll meet us in Nairobi. If you decide to go, you'll leave from there. Now, tell me about the school.
Miss Tuwawa, Hong Kong, and me. How did I ever make such a connection?
You've been listening to Sears Radio Theater, brought to you 5 nights a week by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops. The McGuffey Connection was written by Ted Sherdeman, produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Richard Widmark. Our stars were William Schallert, Peggy Weber, and Ben Wright. Also heard were Shepard Menken, Richard Peel, Ray Tasco, and Jack Crucian. The music for Sears Radio Theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. Art Gilmore speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Sears Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
The story you're about to hear is true, but strange.
That's him now, isn't it, Laura? That isn't any bird. That's Seth Langley.
Now, Uncle Percy, there's nothing out there except no magnolia trees and birds. All I'm doing out here on the veranda is smelling the night air. Smells that sweet.
It's Langley, a renegade, fighting for the North. And you're fixing to elope with him.
Uncle Percy, you're just being plain silly.
That goes again. I see him under that willow tree.
No.
Come out, Langley. Come out of there.
Uncle Cass, put away that pistol.
All right, then. Pretend. But try to stop this.
ABC Radio Network presents Strange. True stories of the supernatural. With your narrator, famous author, lecturer, and expert on strange and weird events, Walter Gibson.
Thank you, Charles Woods. The rivers of the Old South are rich with Spanish moss and memories of great days. The plantation houses stand like old ghosts on the riverbanks. This is the story of a plantation house we shall call Greenwood Acres. In 1952, an Army lieutenant named Seth Proctor, while on leave, found himself in a small backwater town in Georgia. He had gone fishing along a wandering stream loaded with water lilies, and when he got back, he told his landlady about it.
That's right, Mrs. Daniels. It was big. Biggest place I ever saw.
On the bank of the river, Lieutenant, a house?
Yeah, one of those plantation houses.
You sure this isn't one of your fish stories, you young men all in making
up? No. I didn't even catch any fish. I just snarled my line on those water lilies.
Now, there's no house up that bank.
Oh, but there is. I saw it. Had four columns out in front. Big willow tree, right on the bank.
You just must be mistaken, Lieutenant. There ain't been any folks there since way back. Oh, wait a minute. You must mean Greenwood Acres.
What's Greenwood Acres?
Old plantation. Went to seed more than 50 years ago.
Went to seed?
Yeah. There was a tragedy sometime around the Civil War. From that time on, it just went downhill. House is nothing but an old ruin now.
Oh, no. It must be a different place then. The one I saw was new. The next day, Lieutenant Proctor went out fishing again. And again, he found himself pulling through mats of water lilies toward a willow tree that hung over the bank and oak trees festooned with Spanish moss. Through the heavy trees came the perfume of magnolias, and he saw the gleaming white portico of the huge house.
Well, that's it. And it is new. My landlady was wrong. Well, these water lilies are thicker than molasses. Can't move through them.
Sound like a mockingbird or a catbird. Wait a minute, I used to imitate birds. Let's see. That's not bad. Who's that?
That's me.
Who's talking? I don't see it. Oh, swimming in the water. What are you, a mermaid? That yellow hair of yours, I mistook you for a water lily. I wish I could get through to where you are. These water lilies are too thick. Where have we met? Was it at an army post dance?
It is you. Isn't it?
Sure it is. At least it always has been. What I want to know is who you are.
Hey, look out. Get back to shore. There's an alligator. Get back to shore.
No coffee, Lieutenant?
No, thanks. But there must be another way into that plantation, a road or something.
Oh, roads long since overgrown.
I tried. After she got back on shore and I couldn't get through the water lilies, I took the rowboat back and tried by land. Nothing.
You just must have dreamed it all.
Don't tell me what I dreamed, Mrs. Daniels. I saw her. She spoke to me. I didn't get a very good look at her. She got out of the water. All that blonde hair.
First time I ever heard of a soldier not looking at a pretty girl.
Well, she didn't seem to be wearing much.
That's the bathing suits they wear these days. It is scandalous.
It was like a dream.
Yeah, that's just exactly what it was.
The house through the trees, white and shining. The birds singing. And then her. I never saw her before, but how does she know me?
She knows you.
Well, she called me by name. My first name. Seth.
Several times during the afternoon, Lieutenant Seth Proctor tried to get to Greenwood Acres, but all the roads were obliterated. That evening, he spent an hour at the local library.
It was back in 1865. I read the whole story.
So that's where you've been, at the library.
Yep. Now look, there was a girl named Laura who was in love with a northern soldier named Seth Langley. Huh? Her uncle Cassius killed Langley.
Yeah, and Laura pined away and died of a broken heart.
Gee, I wish there'd been a picture of her.
Did the story in the library say what she looked like?
Oh, it said she was beautiful, and she had blonde hair.
Oh, like the girl you saw?
Can't be the same girl.
Of course it can. Unless you dreamed it like you said.
I didn't dream it. She was there. I saw her. She called me by name. And the house was new, shining white and new.
Now where are you going?
There's a moon tonight. I'm going back.
Well, you can't get in.
I've thought of a way. I'll take a canoe instead of a rowboat.
A canoe?
A canoe won't get tangled up in those water lilies. It'll glide right over them.
Lieutenant, if I was you, I'd forget it. Just plain forget it.
Dory said the bird call was the same. I can do that bird call.
Now, Lieutenant, please. Don't you go being foolish.
Hmm? What's foolish about it?
If everything else is the same, that means her Uncle Cassius might be around, too. With that same gun.
What? To use on me?
Well, your name's Seth, ain't it? You're a soldier like he was.
That's
not the same. This is 1952. A girl had blonde hair, and the house is new. No, I'm going. You out there on the veranda again, Lois?
Yes, we'll come again.
He's dead.
I'll see him again.
He's dead. Dead. Been dead for years. And I'll do it again, I tell you. I'll shoot him again. I will, I tell you. There it is. A willow tree. The oak with a Spanish moss. Oh, I can just get to shore now. Made it. A bird called. I better answer. Hello.
Not so loud. You know how Uncle Cassie speaks.
How? What's your name? I don't know your name.
Now you're joking.
Is it Laura?
You have come back, haven't you? I knew you would.
Do you know? You're beautiful.
Uncle Cassie said you were dead. He said he killed you.
The most beautiful girl I ever saw.
Last time I never hardly got past the veranda before Uncle Cassie shot at me. This time we fooled him, didn't we? Oh, sir. Yes,
darling. Laura. Laura. Who is that? There, standing over near the house.
Elizabeth. Look out. It's Uncle Cassie.
Now, you just stay right in that bed, Lieutenant. The doctor said you should rest.
My shoulder.
Lucky you wasn't killed. Oh, I'll never get over the turn you gave me. Staggering in here, the middle of the night, all bleeding.
I'm all mixed up.
Oh, you're all mixed up.
After the shot, Laura seemed to disappear. I found myself in a canoe. I looked back. I saw the house, but it was old. It didn't look new anymore. It was old. What happened to it? What happened to Laura?
Uncle Cassie shot you.
I know I was shot. The doctor took the bullet out, but the house must be new. And Laura, she must be alive. I held her in my arms. She must be alive.
Lieutenant, would you like to see the bullet?
What?
The doctor left it here. Here it is. Right on this plate.
Well, let's see it. But that's not from any modern gun. That's an old-fashioned bullet. From a pistol. Around the time of the Civil War.
Lieutenant Proctor went back when he recovered, but he never again found the house, old or new. But the wound in his shoulder was real, and so was the lead bullet, a bullet that had been fired out of the distant past. A story true, but strange. Walter Gibson, your expert on the supernatural. Stories of ghosts, of spirits, werewolves, and voodoo. And each story you hear is true, but strange. Strange with Walter Gibson as your expert was directed by Clark Andrews. In the cast were Alice Frost and Court Benson. This is Charles Woodspeak.
That's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from the Relic Radio Show and thousands of other old-time radio episodes at relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is working there as well with even more old-time radio. If you'd like to help support it all, give that donate button a click. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.